Welcome, everyone. This is Fit as a Fiddle Plus, and I am coming to you from the Canal Winchester, Ohio area. We have Rita with us today. And Rita, you're from the Raleigh area, right?
That's right.
And Barb, where you're in Florida?
Deerfield Beach, South Florida.
South Florida. Okay. So I love that we can come together on a Zoom call like this from three different parts of the country and feel like we're all in the same room together. And I just love the technology that we are able to do that. I want to tell you a little bit about me. I am a passive income mentor. However, I'm very much into health and wellness. And I knew that I had to get my health under control. So I've spent the last 24 months really making it a priority. And I firmly believe that health comes before wealth. Because if you work all your life and don't pay attention to your health, by the time you retire, you're going to end up spending that hard-earned money to try to buy your health back. So let's don't do that. Let's get health at least on the list. So many of us don't get it to the top of the list, but then there are many of us that don't even get it on the list. So definitely get it on the list and pay some attention to your health. And so that's what I do. I have an academy. You can just go to kathybinner.com and you will see ways to create passive income. You will also see ways to get more healthy. And we have a coffee chat live in person once a week here in my area. And we are just now talking about hitting the trails and doing a walking coffee chat and
nice.
Getting some of these gals moving. And I
yeah.
follow Rita on Facebook, and Rita, I see you're doing all kind of health fairs and all kind of actual activities and getting folks moving. And then Barb, I know that you are a personal trainer. Am I correct?
And not personal, group trainer.
Okay. So we're all into staying active and get moving. So if we can encourage just one thing today, it is definitely get out there and get moving. It makes such a difference, and the statistics on that are a little scary when you see today. What they say, sitting behind a computer is the new smoking.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that it has that large of an adverse effect on us by just sitting at our desk or sitting at a computer all day. So, yeah. So please, everybody, get moving. Visit kathybinner.com and check everything out there. And I'm going to turn it over to Rita and let Rita tell you what it is that she does. She is my co-host, my co-mod on this call. And I am actually going to make her my co-host right now. And so I'm going to let her tell all of you good folks what it is that she does. Rita.
Hey, everybody. Thank you, Kathy. And thanks, Barb, for being here. It's always a pleasure. Rita Brewer. I've been a clinically practicing physician assistant for over 33 years, many specialties in surgery and medicine. But really, over the past 15 years, I've developed a real passion for preventative health and wellness, because I see how miserably we're doing in our health and our medical community with helping people to get healthy. You know, we just prescribe drugs and we're more unhealthy than we've ever been before. And so I like to have ventured outside of the medical model too. I still practice medicine, but lifestyle and obesity medicine. But I have started my own health coaching practice because people need it, right? We're not giving
Yes.
them the tools that they need and the time that they deserve to be able to learn how to truly be well, right? So I'm really excited to have this conversation today with you, Barb, and hear more about your story because it's a really important one that I think people need to hear. So I'm excited.
Thank you.
All right. Now I am going to put over in the chat, I'm going to put my site, which is kathybinner.com. And make sure I spelled everything right. And then Rita, go ahead and add yours there. So for you folks that are listening, you'll see our information in the chat. But on the replay, I will also put our websites and contact information in the replay. So if you're listening to this later and you didn't come on with us live, you can still connect with the three of us. And before we're done, we'll have Barb put her information in there as well. So I want to talk to Barb. She is our guest today. Welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Now, Barb is, I met her at a conference in South Florida where I was collaborating on a book project, and it was all about biohacking. The conference was Biohacking Entrepreneur, and I was a part of that book launch. And but while we were there at the conference, there were folks that came in to actually be at display tables and show some of what they do at like a little expo, a health expo, health and wellness expo. And that is where I met Barb. And when I heard her story, it made such an impact on me. And then she sent me some information after that. I've looked up the information. I have it on my list. I do want to get the blood work that we talked about. I have it all scheduled on how I'm going to go about doing that. And so I just believed her message to be so important that I wanted to have her on and share it with all of you. So this is Barb Moylan. Did I say that correctly? Moylan?
Yeah. Moylan.
She's 52 years old, but in May of last year, she was diagnosed with stage 1 triple positive, HERS2 positive breast cancer. It's a highly aggressive and spreadable form of the disease. And the problem that she was having with all of that, not only being having that diagnosis, but she spent 34 years in the fitness industry. So that whole diagnosis just felt like such a complete betrayal for her, because she's been working on her health for so long. She was devastated. She was terrified. She was overwhelmed by the pressure to immediately begin chemotherapy, which she was told was her only option. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about what she did instead. All right. So this is going to be a great conversation. But before we launch into what she did instead, tell us a little bit about your backstory. What was your life and health like before your diagnosis, and how you first discovered that something was wrong? Tell us a little bit about leading up to that diagnosis.
So I've always been active. I've always eaten very well. Never perfect. I drank and, I didn't live a perfect life, but healthier than most. I can with pride say that.
Yes.
It's been my passion. My whole life is to help others, move and live their healthiest version. So, leading up to this, I felt great. I certainly didn't think anything was wrong. And I did spend most of my life making decisions and making choices to stay out of our medical system, because I didn't go to the doctor. I didn't need to, because of how I took care of myself. So I grew up, my mom was a raw foodist. So I grew up knowing the power of food, seeing her, go through her 60s, 70s, all the way up till her 80s with being on zero medication. So I just really grew up knowing the mm-hmm. power of food, the power of movement, and taking care of yourself. And so I discovered the lump. There were actually 3 tumors in my right breast, and I discovered them laying on the couch and went to scratch my rib, and I grazed my breast. And I felt something, and I kind of blew it off. I was kind of like, oh, maybe it's just a cyst. and then I told a friend.
Because it wouldn't occur to you that you had breast cancer, because you're eating healthy and you're exercising, you're doing all the right stuff, as they say.
Right. And I had gotten a mammogram in 22. I missed my mammogram in 2023, and now it was 2024. And and then I told a friend, and whenever you tell someone, it now becomes it solidifies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she was on me, and she's like, have you gotten that checked? And then finally I went and got it checked, and the doctor said, yeah, there's something there, we need to look into it. And we did, and then it came back as I had breast cancer. So it was a shocker, man. I was shocked.
Yeah. Okay. So now at this point, the doctor's going to come in and say, here's what you have, here's what it came back as, here's what your options are,
Yeah.
the leading option being chemotherapy. Can you walk us through the moment that you decided to forego the chemotherapy and choose a holistic alternative approach instead? What were the fears or the insights that guided you?
So I found out on May 24th that I had breast cancer. That's when I was told. And then my first meeting with all the doctors, like where you,
Team.
yeah, the whole team of doctors, wasn't until June 10th. So I had about, almost 2 weeks
Okay.
to kind of sit on this a little bit. And the first 5 days, I had my own little pity party. And
Oh
then,
yeah. I'm surprised it was only 5 days. Yeah, that's
Well,
hard.
and I on the fifth day, I looked at myself and I said, first of all, I didn't even recognize myself. And I was like, okay, this is not how this is going, girl. Like, you need to get up and you need to like start doing something. And I did. I just started researching before I even saw a medical oncologist. And I had told a couple people. I hadn't made it public knowledge. I mean, my family knew. And probably one of the key people in my journey, her name is Brooke. She's a compound pharmacist. She had heard from the gym that I teach class at, from a mutual friend. And she came to me and she said, "Look, I know we don't know each other very well. I'm a compound pharmacist and I have information that I think you should look at. And I believe I know how you live your life, and I believe this information will be very helpful for you to at least read. And you could throw it in the garbage or whatever, do whatever you want with it." And it was information about alternative treatments. It was about repurposed drugs, fenbendazole, ivermectin, low dose naltrexone, high dose vitamin C, hyperbaric, infrared sauna, all of the, alternative measures that one can take to heal themselves from a cancer diagnosis. And so I spent that time really digging into that information, and but I still wanted to hear what the oncologist had to say. I was like gathering. I'm just gonna gather. And when I did go to that appointment on the 10th, and it was very aggressive. I mean, immediately it was the fear factor, and you've got aggressive and spreadable cancer, and we've got like they wanted to put a port in me the next day, and I was like, whoa. Whoa. Back up, pump the brakes. Like immediately, I mean, after I cried, to hear, the severity of it, because I didn't think it was as bad as it was. And
So you're getting the feeling now that with the doctor's response to what the solution should be, you're getting the message loud and clear that with their medical knowledge, this needs to be attacked immediately.
immediately, this like there, we can't wait. And I said, well, we're gonna wait. Like, I've got to process this. I've got to absorb what you're saying to me. And I already knew going into this, being somebody that, I don't even take Tylenol. So I wasn't going to be like, okay, let's go. Let's do the chemo. Like, I'm just not that person. And not that, there's anything wrong with that, but that's just not how I was raised and how I, how I've lived my life, depending on drugs or medicine to heal me. So yeah, I needed a minute and I took it. I was not going to be pressured. I was not going to be bullied. I wasn't going to be terrified, scared. I mean, I was terrified, so but I wasn't gonna let fear drive my decision. Like, I wanted to take a moment and process. And so I did. I said, okay, thank you very much. Let me take this information and I'm gonna think about it. And I did.
So what was
And
your next step as
yeah.
you're thinking about it? Because in reading about your story, I read about the root cause of your diagnosis. And so what was your thought process at that point? You're doing all this research. The doctors want to do something immediately, so that lets you know the severity of the situation. And so now, what did you find in your research and about that root cause?
Well, I would get up every morning and I would go to the beach because that is my place on earth that I can think clearly. I can process. I went there and I prayed and I meditated and I begged for answers of what to do. And every day that I woke up and I went there, and then I would go home and I would read and I would look, and I started finding other people that had cured themselves alternatively, and I started reading their stories, and I said to myself, look, like, what, I have been in health and fitness for 34 years. I know the human body the way I know the human body. And that might be a different way than somebody that, went to Harvard Medical School, but I still know what I know. But I said to myself, I got here some way. It wasn't genetic. Genetic testing came back negative. So it was not genetic. So I knew I got here somehow. And I figured out, I said to myself, if I got here a certain way, I can reverse engineer this. I can fix what has broken down inside of me, because if it's not genetic, then it's metabolic. And if it's metabolic, then I could potentially, if I know what exact, if I could pinpoint exactly what went wrong or went sideways, if I can pinpoint that, maybe I could fix it. And so that's when I was like, there's all these other options out there that nobody talks about, that our current medical model dismisses, buries, doesn't give it any clout or gives it any respect. But they're very viable. I mean, there is research. I read it. There's a lot of research backing, and there's a lot more people than you think that have cured themselves alternatively, holistically, or naturally. And so I said to myself, this there can't chemo can't be my only option. Let me.
However, the doctors know that it's your fastest option.
Yes. But then when I read the side effects, long term, short term side effects, and then when you really break down the numbers of the success rate of chemotherapy, it's not what you think. It's the way that they measure, from what I read and what I experienced, is the way that they measure success isn't really success. It's, okay, we cured the breast cancer. The breast cancer is not there, but they don't talk about all the other chaos that is inflicted because of the chemo.
Right, or new cancers that can develop later as a result of it.
Correct. Correct.
Wow, that is something I've not heard before.
Oh,
New cancers. Wow,
And
because of the chemo.
And right at the time that I was in this little tug of war going on, which I was leaning more towards the decision that I made, I had miraculous so many th miraculous things have happened to me during this journey, and this is definitely one of them. I had a friend that was a former coach at Orange Theory. I was with Orange Theory for 12 years. She had throat cancer 7 years ago, and she did chemo. And right around this time, she posted on Facebook, 7 years cancer free. And I saw it, and I was like, oh boy, I don't know if I want to read this because it might confuse me. It might alter my decision. And but she's my friend, so I read it. And it said, yeah, I'm 7 years cancer free with a price. She's in liver failure. And she does, and she's in now, she was in her 30s when she got the throat cancer. Now she's in her 40s. She's got two kids, and now she is in liver failure from the chemo. And she is not a candidate for a liver transplant. So
But the doctors are calling her a success.
oh yeah, she was
Right.
cured.
The
She
cancer gone,
was
right.
cured.
Yeah.
But they don't talk about the
Right.
devastation that occurs after. And
Right.
I was like, oh. And then right at the same time as when Elle Macpherson, the supermodel, came out, she had written a book and said that she had cancer, almost the identical breast cancer that I was diagnosed with. And she went to 34 doctors. They all told her the same thing, that she needed chemo, she needed chemo. She decided not to, and she healed herself holistically 7 years later, cancer-free, no chaos. And I was like,
And she still has her liver.
and she still has her
Yeah.
liver.
And some of them can cause very severe heart damage as well.
Yeah,
Oh,
and that
wow.
was the thing, is that I was looking at on onset of osteoporosis, onset of menopause, the heart conditions, the liver conditions, the kidney, the bone, I mean the bone,
Wow.
and when I went to get my treatment, they downplay all of that, and I'm like, and I came ready. I came locked and loaded, 32 questions. I knew the answer to every one of my own questions, but I wanted to hear them say it. And they downplayed it. And I
Yeah.
was like, well, what about like all the other symptoms that you're not communicating? Like, it should be your job to give me the full picture so I can make a educated decision. I went and educated myself.
Yeah.
And the saddest thing, and I gave them more than one opportunity to sell me on this. I said, well, how did this happen? How did I get here? And they had no answer. They didn't care. They were like, well, it could be genetic. Well, when the genetic test came back and it wasn't genetic, I go, okay, it wasn't genetic. So how did I get here? And they're like, just bad luck. I was like, wait, what? Bad
I can
luck.
feel I can feel my blood boiling. So when we have guests, one of the questions Kathy loves to ask is, what makes you angry about your industry? And I can just feel my blood is boiling right now because this topic, it makes me so angry. And it's not that they don't care, not that they poo-poo the alternative therapies, because it's not taught, you know. They can In our conventional medical training, when it comes to oncology, there's four options: surgery, chemo, radiation, or a combination of
two or three or one of those.
Yep.
So, and that's it. There is no alternative therapies that are taught in, the biggest medical institutions, around the world. So when doctors go to these institutions and they have this training that there's a come out, you're an expert now. You're the oncologist, you're the medical oncologist or the surgical oncologist. You've been trained in the best medical facilities around the world. So there's the belief that, well, whatever is was an answer or appropriate treatment, I would have learned already. So if it wasn't taught, then it's poo-pooed. I can remember 30 years ago when I was a young PA doing in a surgery, we'd have tumor board meetings. So the oncology department would host meetings where they would present cases, and everybody would come, the surgeon, the oncologist, the medical doctors, everybody would come and discuss the case. It's supposed to be a learning experience, right? And I remember one of the oncologists was talking about breast cancer and not using deodorants that have aluminum in them, right? Now I said, this is 30 years ago, right? And everybody talked behind his back and said he was a quack, and because he was talking about deodorants and the toxicity. And it's true. I mean, there's aluminum in almost every deodorant on the shelves. And that's a heavy metal that goes directly into your lymphatic system and drainage, connects to your breast tissue. And so yeah, that's a toxin that, can lead to a breast cancer or another toxin. So yeah, these things are just not taught, and that's what makes me so angry because we have this pharmaceutical driven culture that, if it's not a drug or a surgery or a radiation that the medical establishment can make money off of, it's a business. Cancer is a business in
It
America. And people are not given the other choices, right? Which, and if people choose that and they want to go that route, then fine, it's available to them. But it makes me so angry that we don't offer the other options because, again, big pharma doesn't make money off of any of those treatments that you just mentioned. So I think it's really important. I really want you to share, Barb, what treatments, well, for how you found the treatment options that you chose, and what were those options, and how long did it take? What did it entail for you? Because so many people go to these meetings like you did, and you were courageous enough to walk away and not be intimidated. But I know so many people who go in, and like you said, that fear factor is real.
Oh yeah.
And they walk
Oh
in, and it's just like these are the experts. Like they've been in medical school for 20 years. They must know. So I must, go with what they say. Otherwise, there's that fear of if I don't do what they told me, then, I'm harming myself, like by not getting the treatment, and then it's my fault if I don't get better.
Yeah. I mean,
So.
I had four different doctors tell me that if you don't, in different ways, if you don't do this treatment, your chances of survival are not good. One told me it's going to be a shame someone so young is going to die out of your ignorance. That was, oh yeah.
Look at
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right, so
Oh,
tell us what you did. What were the steps that with the decision that you made?
well,
Who did you go to? Like, who was your primary person who was going to lead the charge, right?
like ready, Rita wanted
But I want to insert another question in there
to know.
as you answer that for Rita, is you had to feel the pressure
Oh yeah.
of that fear factor of, oh my gosh, how much time do I have? And knowing that number one, the chemo is going to be the fastest solution. Chemo is also going to have the fastest change of something that you can do immediately that will actually, you can measure the change, good or bad. You're going to be able to measure the change taking the chemo. And you had to wonder to yourself, at least in my mind, if I go the holistic route, how long is it going to take? And will it work fast enough before the cancer takes over?
Yeah.
That had to be a
So,
huge thought
yeah,
process for you.
all of it was all of it. And once I made my decision, and I mean, I was having nightmares about chemo. Like, I was
Oh,
waking up
I
in
would too.
the middle of the night, dry heaving and nauseous. And like, I would get up, run to the bathroom, and be over the toilet, nothing coming out, and go, oh my God, that was just a dream. And I hadn't even seen a chemo bag at all. I'm like, oh God. And I called my mom and I was like, Mom, I don't, I like my body's already rejecting something that I haven't been faced with yet. Like, that's not a good sign.
Because you intuitively know that it's poison, you know, so it's like it
And
goes
that was the
against
other
everything
thing.
that you feel.
I mean, I could not wrap my head around how injecting my healthy body minus the three tumors, okay, minus the three tumors in my right breast, everything else was functioning well. It made zero sense to me to go in and annihilate everything that was good. I just couldn't wrap my brain around that. I'm like, that it just, I couldn't. It just didn't make sense. So I was like, yeah, I can't do it. I just can't. So if I can't do that, I'm gonna put all my faith in God. Like, you know, and I did, like, I have not been a very super religious person until that moment where I was like, it is going to take a strength larger than I am even aware of to get me through this. And boy, let me tell you, I tapped into every part of prayer that I could because I knew that I needed something bigger than me. And so the three tumors had a 5 centimeter diameter. Okay. It's 5 centimeters. It needed to be 4 centimeters or less to get clear margins for a mastectomy. So I was a
So at
candidate.
that point, your goal was to try to shrink that tumor
Yeah.
so that you.
They wanted me to do 6 rounds of chemo prior to surgery to get it from a
Like it.
5 to a 4 so that the surgeon could get good margins.
Okay.
And I told him no. Or no, I said, I'm not going to put that in my body, hope for the best, and then go under anesthesia. It's not going to happen. And that's when the doctor said, it's going to be such a shame to see somebody so young die from your ignorance. It's like, okay, well, thank you very much.
So
And
what did you do instead? How did you make the
I went,
decision on what
first of all,
you were going to do?
I went to the surgeon and I asked this, I got the surgeon to agree to do the surgery without the chemo. And she said, I will do this because of your how fit you are, your age, 52, and how fit you are. Like, you're able to handle this surgery.
Healthy.
And I said, all right, great. They didn't know what I was doing on the back end, which was I started on June 3rd. I started fenbendazole, ivermectin, low dose naltrexone, 50 grams of vitamin C through IV, followed by hyperbaric. I was going to the infrared sauna. I was doing oxygen training, PEMF mats, scalar waves. I mean, anything that I could put in my body, on my body, around my body. I completely altered my diet. I started juicing. I went high nutrient. I pulled out anything that was going to feed cancer. I would only eat what would starve it, not feed it. I mean, I was so strict. I was growing wheatgrass. I mean, you name it, I was doing it. And in the 9 weeks between diagnosis and surgery, and unfortunately, I did not know this until the surgery. I asked before the surgery, I said, can we do another ultrasound and measure it? Because I wanted to see if what I had done was even making an impact. And they said, no. They said, well, that's not our standard of care. You're scheduled for the surgery. We won't put in an order for it because if I would have seen that when I got the surgery, they took it out, it was 3.2 centimeters. I shrunk it 1.8 centimeters in 9 weeks. If I would have known that prior,
You would have just continued what you were
I would
doing
have
and
canceled the surgery. I would have kept my breasts and I would have tried to shrink the whole damn thing on my own. But
Now, how did you find the practitioner to prescribe these for you, the medications?
I went through the compound pharmacist.
Okay,
She
so it was
made that available to
local
me.
doctors in your community?
Look, she made that available to me. Got
Mm-hmm.
the there's some doctors that she works with that she was able to do that for me. So
So an integrative practice near you, yeah.
yeah.
See, that in those treatments too, that you mentioned, it's all cash pay, right? And that's the other crime, right? Because people who don't have the money to pay for, or, I mean, hyperbaric oxygen is not cheap. You can get your own home infrared sauna. I have one, but for most people, they can't afford to pay out of pocket for a lot of these treatments, and that's the
Well,
other thing that's so upsetting.
I couldn't either. I
Your
mean,
own credit card.
I am single. I have a one income, a very moderate income. And thank God last summer, they did a fundraiser for me where I teach class and they raised almost $40,000
Oh my God, that's
for
wonderful.
me to help. And they didn't know, what my decision was going to be. If I was going to do the chemo, if I wasn't, because the real, like, yeah, they knew that I rejected the first, the first recommendation of chemo, but they, everybody, and I had people say to me, Barb, at some point you're going to have to give in. And I was like, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think I'm going to give in. Like,
Yeah.
I want to make a little segue here, and I want to talk about and go back to that the root cause of your
yes.
diagnosis. And how did you find how to get this blood work done, what the root cause was, and give us the steps that you took to put back into your diet what you realized from your blood work was missing?
So the first two tests that I did were a methylation detox pathway test, which is a genetic test. And I got that done at a Restore Hyper Wellness. They offer that test there. And that is, there's five genes involved in your methylation detox pathways. Three out of my five are functioning suboptimally. So right there told me that my body was not processing, metabolizing, getting rid of toxicity at an optimal level. So that had been working against me since birth. Like
And
the,
without the blood work, you have no idea, right?
yeah, like
It's not
without,
something they ever test for in conventional offices. It's only integrative practices and functional
and
medicine.
I believe every human should have that information for sure. The second test, blood test that I did was a micronutrient test that they also offered at Restore. And so that told me where my deficiencies were with my micronutrients. And sure enough, I was deficient in every single micronutrient associated with breast cancer, which is vitamin A, vitamin D, iodine, selenium, glutathione, all deficient. So right there, I was like, okay, between needing to support my detox pathways, having these deficiencies, I then knew what foods I should and should not be eating, what supplements I should and should not be taking. So that started to like guide me. I was asking at the hospital, okay, I have triple positive estrogen dominant, progesterone dominant, breast cancer. When are we going to test my hormones? And you know what they said to me? We're not, because it's not going to change your treatment plan. And I said, wait, what? Like, that makes no sense to me. Like, and now, mind you, I had been getting blood work done prior to all of this, and my blood work was coming back fine. Your blood work is fine. And so it wasn't until I did a urine metabolite test out of my own pocket. I went through Life Extension and I got a urine metabolite test to find out that my 4-OH estrogen was high, too high. So, and that particular estrogen causes DNA damage. So wherever that is floating in my body, which prior to surgery, it was floating into my breast, wherever it lands in the body, it's causing DNA damage. So that is important to know because even though right now I don't have any breast tissue, that estrogen is still traveling through my body and it's going to land somewhere else. It could land in my thyroid, it could land in my lungs, it could land anywhere that estrogen is metabolized, processed.
Everywhere.
It could land in my uterus. But it wasn't important to test because, and that goes back to what Rita was saying, is that,
Not familiar with it.
yeah, I mean, I have something going on in my body that could cause problems, more problems down the road if undetected. And nobody cared to detect it except me. And
So
so,
now once you discovered that, what did you change in
so,
that? Did you have to change just your diet? Is there what all did you have to change to
I
make a
started
difference?
to see a doctor at Life Extension, and
Okay.
he really, and to this day, I see him on August 26th. He has been phenomenal at helping me, guide me on what testing to do. What nutraceuticals, like he helps adjust what nutraceuticals I should be taking. So he got me on DIM, DIM. I can't say the long version of that. So it's bad tongue twister.
It
And
helps move the estrogen down the healthy pathway versus the cancer pathway.
yes, cruciferous vegetable extract as well. So he put me on a specific nutraceutical to help downregulate my bad estrogen, upregulate my good estrogen, and try to level things out for me. So, he's been a key part of helping me navigate what direction to go in based off of my blood work. And him and Brooke have both worked, not together, but simultaneously in helping to make the adjustments as I'm learning to what adjustments I needed to make.
Yeah, and probably some B vitamins too, because you are
Oh yeah.
not metabolizing those appropriately, and those are
Definitely.
necessary for detoxification.
Yeah, my B12 was another highly deficient in B12, and because of the methylation issue. And then another thing I did, and this wasn't until December of last year, I did another DNA test that tested more different areas than I had tested before. And I found that my mitochondria function was not great. So that was another thing. I was like, okay, my mitochondria, the powerhouse of my cells doesn't function optimally. So what do? I find out, okay, how do I help support my mitochondria, which is PEMF, Matt, the grounding, pulling the electromagnetic frequency out of the cells. I do exercise with oxygen training, driving new oxygen into the cells, and then red light therapy and methylene blue all help to upregulate and repair and support mitochondria function. So that was another piece of the puzzle that I'm still working on. All of it I'm still working on.
Now, here's what I'm hearing. And again, you've got a background in health and wellness. I get that. A lot of our listeners do not have that. And some of the terms that we've been using, they're like, I don't even know what she's talking about. And I understand that. So my question to you, to try to help our listeners, because there are folks out there that really need to do a deeper dive and take more control over their own health. Because again, by the time all of the symptoms come to the surface, it's almost too late. By the time you have all those symptoms, whatever those symptoms are, and by just putting some of, and again, I go back to what I said before, you can work all your life and make all this money, and then you're going to spend all the money later on to try to buy your health back. Don't do that. Take some of that money today. Find out where you have some deficiencies. Find out where you need to make some changes and make them now. Don't wait until the symptoms are all there. And now you've not only do you have to reverse it, but you have to really back it up to try to get your system back in a healthy state.
Yeah, well, and that's why, I decided very early on that I was gonna make my journey public. Like, not to get attention. I didn't want, I don't need to get any attention. I get plenty of attention. But I knew that being able to watch somebody, and I documented it on my, I mean, you can see every video that I ever posted on my social media. I documented all of it and step by step of what I was doing, and sharing my story is so important so that
Absolutely.
people know that. I mean, one of my biggest messages is that it isn't too late, that you can still, you can turn your health around at any point. Unfortunately, like, and I hate to say this because I do not judge anybody's decision because I did not want my decision judged, right? So whatever somebody decides, I fully support whatever someone chooses, right? But at the end of the day, no matter what, you should consider finding out what internally what broke down and fix it because it is fixable. I mean, I'm not saying it's all, you can fix it all, but damn it, you can try. At least try to.
Well, and I'm of the opinion that if you can fix it, like you said, when you do have the symptoms and you go back and see what's going on internally, why don't we do a little deep dive now
Right.
before?
Well, and I've said to all my friends, I mean, I had my surgery in my first surgery end of July, second surgery was in August. I was back to work in September, and then October came around. And as soon as I could do my first workshop, my first like public, like, okay, I can move my arms and I can speak publicly. I did a breast cancer prevention workshop and I was like, look, don't wait. Don't wait for a diagnosis. One in eight women are diagnosed with breast cancer every year. One in eight. And by 2030, it's going to be one in five. Like, yeah, over 300,000 women were diagnosed with breast cancer in 2024. That's a lot of women. And by 2030, it's going to be over 500,000 women. Over 500,000.
And one alcoholic beverage a day increases your breast cancer risk significantly too. I think the last time I checked, it was like by 11% or something.
Yeah,
And
that's huge.
one drink, what's a big deal, right? Well, because alcohol is a toxin. But this is why I love functional medicine so much. So you went to that integrative practice. They're functional medicine trained. I'm functional medicine trained. And this is why I love it so much. It's the detective work, and where
Yes.
we take that deep dive and we figure out what's going on. Like you said, because otherwise they're like, well, you just got a tumor. We don't know how. Well, but we kind of do, right? Because we can trace things back, and find out where the disconnect is in your specific body. And it's very customized for each individual. I have a colleague, young woman in her 30s, who got a brain tumor. She's a functional medicine practitioner. She's healed herself holistically as well. Did have surgery to remove the tumor, but did everything holistic, and she's cancer-free. But she found out that she ended up with was it some sort of a tapeworm or some sort of a worm infection that got into her brain when she was doing mission work overseas, right? So we are bombarded every single day with so many different toxins in our environment, right? So our body eventually, the reasons that a tumor will develop is because we've just gotten too many cancer cells that are being fed by this toxicity that our body can't fix it, right? Because we all have abnormal cells in our body. Every single one of us has abnormal cells.
Yeah.
But if our immune system is strong enough and our environment and our detox pathways are working well the way they're supposed to, then we can fight off those abnormal cells. But when we just keep getting exposed to more and more toxins everywhere, food, air, water, carpeting, like everything,
It's everywhere. Yeah.
yeah, it just then eventually the cup overflows. It's like one drip of this toxin here, this toxin there, no big deal. But eventually that burden builds up. And when it starts to spill over, now there's a tumor that
Now we got
already
the problem.
has
Yeah.
the problem.
But
So.
we'll bring our car in, right? You'll bring your car in every 5,000 miles,
Yes,
and
maintenance.
they'll check the oil, they'll check the tires, they'll do the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
But we don't, our medical model of what insurance covers doesn't do a very good job of,
Right.
let's test for things ahead of time. I mean, every single test
Right.
I have had done, I have had to pay out of pocket for.
That's
I
right.
mean,
That's right.
like to uncover what I've uncovered
Right.
has come out of my own pocket. And
Yeah.
that to me is a crime.
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely
It
agree.
is. However, and I know we're running out of time. However, I think it's necessary for us to spend some of our hard-earned money
Yes.
and let's prevent some of these things from happening. Because again, I can remember, and Rita's heard me say this before, I was in the salon industry, which is a lot of chemicals. And I was around the hair dye and the acrylic nails and the acetone. And I mean, customers would soak in acetone to soak their
Use.
acrylic nails off. I mean, how unhealthy is that? And so over the long and the short of it, I was in all of that, and the doctor finally said to me, he said, you're sitting, I was a nail tech. He said, you're sitting at the nail table, hour after hour after week after month after year. And he said, wouldn't it be a novel idea? He said, because I'm looking at shoulder surgery and elbow surgery and wrist surgery, and my neck was hurting and my back was hurting. And he said, wouldn't it be a novel idea? He said, if you quit right before I cut you all up instead of right after. He said, because when I cut you all up, you're going to quit.
Yeah.
He said, wouldn't it be novel if you quit before I had to cut you all up?
Yeah.
And I thought, how crazy am I that I am going to work my way into having like 14 surgeries? How crazy is that?
Yeah.
But you know what? Quitting was one of the hardest things I did. So if you're listening to this or listening to the replay of this, at least get your health on the list.
Yeah.
And so before we end today, I want to find out from you, Barb, and Rita, if you have some suggestions as well, where do we go to get the blood work? Where do we go to find out what we're missing?
Go to Rita.
Yeah, really, every well-trained functional medicine practitioner has access to these tests.
Yeah.
So you can contact me. I use them with my private clients. You
Okay.
can go to the Institute for Functional Medicine webpage. School of Applied Functional Medicine and search for practitioners in your area. If you're in Barb's area, reach out to who she went to. But a lot of us work virtually now too. So, we're available even out of state and, for coaching practices anyway, not, medical practices, but
And now, I've taken what I have learned and I've done. I mean, I was already, I teach fitness, but I've been a nutrition and gut health coach for the last 5 years officially. And now this has morphed into me supporting people, women that have been diagnosed with breast cancer, but also, I mean, I've got five cancer clients right now that I'm supporting. And really what I'm doing is I am supporting them in the way that the hospital is not. I'm looking at lifestyle. I'm looking at their nutrition, their gut health, guiding them to the right place to get the test. I have a whole functional medicine testing list that I gathered and that I created from my own experience, and helping them find somebody in their area to administer these tests. The DNA test that I took is from the DNAcompany.com, and I learned about my methylation, about my hormones, about my mitochondria, all of that. And it helps you uncover, things that you're predispositioned to happening inside of your body. So I learned that I'm predisposition for cardiovascular disease. So I'm working on that right now. I didn't know that without this test. So, there are so many tools available to us. There's a lot of resources. I mean, I put a full free resources section in my website with food lists, low glycemic foods, and foods that starve cancer. And I put together a whole prevention detox guide of how to detox your house and the companies and the products that you can use. And how to detox your food and look at labels and all of that. So
So all of that is in your website already.
That's
Okay.
awesome. Awesome.
That
That's
is
awesome.
perfect. Gosh, ladies, this has been so informative. I'm definitely going to go. Barb sent me some information early on, but I'm definitely going to go visit her website. So if you're listening to this, definitely check out her website. I will put the link actually in the replay for folks that listen later to this call. And any aha moments? My big aha moment today is, spend some of my hard-earned money and get some of those tests and get a better idea of what's going on in my body, because 10 or 20
At a
years from
time.
now, my body will thank me for that.
Absolutely. That's the last thing I wanted to say too, is like you don't have to wait until you get a cancer diagnosis or any other chronic disease diagnosis. These are preventative things. You can go to any one of these practitioners or go to Barb's page, get those free resources, sign up to work with her too. You don't have to wait until you get a bad diagnosis. If you knew 5 years ago that this was going on with your methylation, you would have been in a different situation, right?
This all could have been avoided if I had, that it's that classic saying, if I knew then what I know now, right? But if I knew about thermography, if I knew about methylation, if I, had gotten a micronutrient test, I mean, all of the things that I have done, if I was aware, I could have avoided. I know I could have prevented this. And that's why I'm so passionate about my message now, is that, if you can hear my voice and you have not had to go through a diagnosis, you don't have to. You can start making changes today that, don't cost you an arm and a leg, that can start turning your health around in a very positive direction. And avoid and it's our bodies, and we should be the archaeologist of our own bodies and dig and keep digging and find the answers of what is working great. And Good job. And what is not working so well? And let's nourish that. Let's support it. Let's give it the love and the attention that it deserves so that you can enjoy, enjoy your life and not have to live in fear and worry and, go through the crap that, that I've gone through.
Well, I could talk about
Amen.
this all night. We could
Yes.
get into all kind of topics from here. We could go into autophagy and fasting, and I mean, we could get into all kinds of
Yeah.
topics, which will have to be another time because we
Yeah.
are out of time. But I love that you are on, Barb. Thank you so much. You've inspired me to take my health even more seriously than I have been, and I've been taking it pretty seriously, but you've inspired me to even get more serious about it. And Rita, as always, it's always fun to see you, and Rita's there in my background every time I need some help with some blood work. I send her my numbers. I go, Rita, what does this mean? And
And
she's
Rita,
always
I commend you for making the transition because I'm sure
Yeah.
that was not easy.
No, no.
Bless
Yeah.
you for
Thank
doing
you. Absolutely.
Well,
Couldn't not have done
I
it.
appreciate both of you so much, and I can't wait to see you again in person. I will be in South Florida again soon, and so hopefully I'll get to see
Reach
Barb.
out. Let me know. I'll come meet you.
Yeah. And Rita, I hope to meet up with you someday
I
soon.
know. I'm
And
gonna have to
Rita,
meet you guys in Florida. Let me know
yes.
when you're there again.
All right, I will do that. So with that, we are going to say goodbye for today. So definitely tune in. We are here every third Monday, usually at 4 o'clock. We sometimes bump to 6 o'clock depending on time frames. But definitely tune in again and listen to our replays. And we'll see everyone next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you,
Bye,
Barb.
everyone.
Thank you, Kathy.